All right, back here on the Giants pregame show, Giants and the Padres coming your way at 1 o'clock here on KMBR, the sports leader, alongside Bill Lasky and Marty Lurie. I'm Kerry Crowley. It's my pleasure to welcome in our next guest, Adam Copeland. Copes, how are you today, my friend?
I got you, Kerry.
Copes, how are you? Hear me? You got me?
Dude, I think I dropped off for a second. I came right back on as you were saying hello. No, I'm good, man. I'm good. What's going on with you? How are you, man?
Oh, doing quite well. Hey, wanted to get your thoughts on Carlos Rodon going a complete game. I feel like we got to start treating a complete game like we used to treat no-hitters, where it's some kind of historic accomplishment that you're going to see about 10 or 12 times a season. I know it's far less rare than a no-hitter, but it feels like such a more significant achievement now than it did maybe even 5 years ago.
No, you're absolutely right. It's always been cool. It's always been cool when a guy throws his first complete game shutout. I remember when Jerome Williams did that, like back in 2003, and that was like a huge deal for a rookie to come up and be able to do that. But you're right. We just don't see guys going that deep into a ball game. And when Carlos Rodon issued that two out walk in the ninth inning, I was like, oh boy, please don't pull him here. Let him close this thing out. He ends up getting Alfaro to end the ball game, striking him out for the win. But I think even bigger than the complete game as an achievement for Carlos Rodon is what it meant to the Giants yesterday. For a team that's looking for a bright spot, that's looking to turn things around. And don't forget, Rodon, was it about a week ago, called out the team and said, you know, we need to change something physically. We need to play a little bit better, and said we're just not playing. I think he straight up said we're playing bad baseball right now. So for him to be able to come out and do that and really give his team a boost, that's what you look for from an ace. That's what they were looking for from Rodon when they signed him. So for him to sort of set that tone and give the Giants an opportunity to split the series here before they go home, I think that's a huge win for the team.
I love all of what you just said, and particularly the part about Carlos Rodon calling out the team and then backing it up with his own actions on the mound. But a little concern that you were able to pinpoint 2003 specifically on Jerome Williams. How about June 27, 2003, 9 innings, 7 hits, just 2 strikeouts with the complete game shutout of the Oakland A's. How about that, Coach? What a pull.
Hey, dude, man, rocking the puka shells. I always felt bad for Jerome Williams because he was the guy who got the start against Dontrelle Willis in game 4 of the NLDS that year. And Jason Schmidt had thrown the complete game in game 1 to put the Giants up 1-0, and then ultimately they couldn't win the series going back to Miami tied 1-1. But Jerome Williams was a fun guy. The year after the Giants went to the World Series, they needed some help. Don't forget they traded Russ Ortiz to the Braves for Damian Moss, the lefty ace Australian, who ended up not really being an ace. And so Jesse Foppert and Jerome Williams came up. They were a big part of that 2003 team, man. It's just some fun memories from like my seventh grade year.
Oh my goodness. 2003 was one of my favorite seasons, coming off of 2002, and just the heartbreak of the Marlins series. Pudge Rodriguez holding the ball up in the air, I think it's stuck in the mind of every Giants fan. But yeah, a pull from 19 years ago. And I did kind of want to wind back in Giants history, not that far, but a little further back into 2010, 2012, 2014, just because the trade deadline's coming up and there's some significant moves that Farhan Zaidi could make to help this Giants team. Before we get into those, just some memories of trades that Brian Sabia and Bobby Evans made to help make the Giants better in those seasons. What stood out to you about the way the Giants approached the deadline under Sabian?
Well, you know, the Giants always have that note that they didn't play a meaningless game, or they played a handful of meaningless games basically throughout the entire Sabian era. And really, that's all a baseball fan can ask for over 6 months of a season, is get to September and get me some meaningful games to play for. But it's hard to determine on July 31st if your team is in it. Can you be a contender? And I think Brian Sabian, more often than not, gambled on his team. I wasn't a huge fan of the moves for guys like Ricky Leday or Mark Sweeney. I never thought getting like a pinch hitter was going to put you over the top. But, you know, he went all in, and I know it's sort of a joke name now, but Sidney Ponzon was a name the Giants went out and got. He was the ace of a team that wasn't very good. They thought they needed a number two behind Jason Schmidt. That was a great one. Kenny Lofton, they acquired in 2002. That was a phenomenal pickup. And don't forget, they even went out and they pulled off of the after the waiver deadline, like after July 31st. I want to say in 2002, they added Bill Miller back to the roster, who played some games to help the Giants get into that wild card spot. So I always appreciated as a fan that my team was aggressive. And I think that's the hope this year, is that if you're hovering 500, you were in the mix. It would be great to see the Giants be aggressive at the deadline here, because they definitely need some help.
Adam Copeland joining us here on the Giants pregame show. About an hour to go until you get the Giants and the Padres. Fourth game in San Diego at Petco Park. And you mentioned that Bill Miller may have been added as a post-deadline early waiver wire acquisition. How about Cody Ross as well? Back in the 2010 season, Marty, Bill, and I were kicking this around earlier when they added Ramon Ramirez, Javier Lopez at the deadline. And obviously, Lopez became one of the best relievers in Giants history with what he did over those 3 World Series title runs, being part of the core four. Feels like the Giants this this year could use some relief help. And I certainly think that if the Giants are going to jump in and be aggressive at the deadline, look, you've got Carlos Rodon and you've got Logan Webb. You can win a wild card series with those two guys. Any thoughts on potentially adding to the bullpen, particularly now that Jake McGee has been DFA'd?
Yeah, I think definitely. You know, you free up that left-handed reliever spot. If somebody becomes available, the Giants can get creative and give up a prospect or not give up too much of something out of the roster. Not something I'm expecting them to pour a whole bunch of team equity or minor league equity into. But I think at this point, the Giants just need pitching help. And so if you can't add a frontline starter, which I don't think they're going to go do, or you can't add a – because they're going to be in competition and bidding wars with other teams for guys like Luis Castillo or Frankie Montas, depending on his health, I think that's the next best thing. Is add as many relief arms as you can, help yourself get to the back end of the season. And that's sort of the way the Giants do things anyway. If they can get a guy who's an up-and-down guy who can give you two innings, maybe three innings, kind of a bulk reliever, that would be a huge plus for them, because right now the starting rotation is shallow. You hope Jacob Junis can come back and help them. Anthony Discofani is gone. I don't know how much Sean Gelly is going to do this year as far as a starter, and maybe you stretch out Sam Long just a little bit more because he's been really, really good, I think, this year. But beyond that, I think the best way to sort of help out your starting rotation if you don't have enough depth is to go get a reliever. And usually the relievers are traded, unless it's a big-name closer or a big-name setup guy at the deadline. It's maybe somebody that's not a super sexy name but can certainly come in, like you mentioned, Ramon Ramirez or Javi Lopez. And don't sleep on my guy Chris Ray. I don't know why you guys turned your back on my boy Chris Ray in 2010, too.
I certainly slept on Chris Ray a little too much. Good pull there as well. Going to throw out two names for you guys who've intrigued me. One that Marty was kicking around earlier in the show with Gordon Whitmire, and that's David Robertson, the current closer for the Chicago Cubs. Giants will have the Cubs right before the trade deadline in San Francisco at Oracle Park. Could be a situation where maybe he just flips clubhouses. I always love those trades where guys just walk right over. I think Jason Schmidt was one of those guys back when the Giants first acquired him in that the John Vanderwall Armando Rios deal. And then David Bednar, speaking of the Pittsburgh Pirates, David Bednar, you mentioned someone who can go multiple innings, 2.25 ERA in Pittsburgh, 33 games over 40 innings this year for Bednar, 53 strikeouts, 15 saves in Pittsburgh. So if the Giants want to shore up the back end of the bullpen, any thoughts on those two guys, what they might be able to bring to this Giants organization?
Yeah, Robertson, a guy who's been around for some time. And I want to say Freddy Sanchez was another one of those guys who walked over from the Pirates clubhouse when the Giants traded for him in 2009, right at the deadline. And I don't even know that he played at the end of that year. But yeah, Robertson would be a good pickup. It'd be nice to have another veteran right-hander, because while Camilo Duvall has wicked stuff, he does, you know, he struggled a little bit in the ninth inning as of late. And David Bednar's a guy with closing experience. And you mentioned the multiple inning stuff. It would be great to have a guy where you get into the jam in the eighth inning and you bring in a reliever to get the final two outs of the eighth, and then you can bring him back out with the closing experience to maybe lock it down in the ninth. That's an element I think the Giants are missing from this bullpen. And last year they had far more versatility, it seemed like, and they were just more successful in general. But I do think having a guy who can close with experience and can go multiple innings, David Bednar would be fantastic. But I do think these are guys that could be at the top of some of the other big contending teams' wish list at deadline time.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Those are some of the higher profile relief arms who figure to be on the move this July. Talking with Adam Copeland here, a few more here for you on the Giants pregame show. Copes, looking around the rest of baseball, I love picking your brain about the different storylines that are kind of dominating Major League Baseball at this time. And I know that you're someone who listened to a lot of Joe Angel broadcasts through the years on the Orioles broadcasts. How about the Baltimore Orioles, winners of 8 in a row, kind of sneaking into that American League wildcard race a little bit?
Yeah, it's kind of cool. 8 in a row, they've been on fire lately. Always love a team with black and orange. And don't forget Joe Angel back in 2003. We were talking about how great that season was. On opening day, the Giants win. And jokingly on the postgame wrap, he says, "Well, I just don't think they can be caught." And they weren't caught, Terry. They went wire to wire. So one of my favorite Joe Angel moments.
I love that. As we get close to the trade deadline, Copes, any thoughts on who might be the highest profile player to move, or some of the guys that you're watching right now, whether it's Luis Castillo, former Giants farmhand in the Reds organization, Frankie Montas, if he's healthy with the Oakland Athletics, any thoughts on who you're excited to see play in a different uniform this summer?
Yeah, that's a tough one, because it doesn't seem like it's going to be a big seller's market as far as the big name players, and I think teams are still sort of navigating what this looks like as far as the extra wild card team goes. So I think some teams that are maybe just hanging around aren't gambling on their rosters right now. As far as the big names go, I think you just said him. Luis Castillo isn't a huge name, but I think ending up on a big scene somewhere on a big stage could be a lot of fun with his velocity. And Frankie Montas almost threw a no hitter earlier this year. I think that guy, it's been a shame that he's pitching over in Oakland for such a bad team, but this is what happens. You end up faulting your status, and those teams become sellers because they're really, really not successful this year. So it'd be fun to see Montas pitch in a big city on the big stage with that big velocity.
And who knows? Maybe it's the Giants who go after Frankie Montas. I know that Marty's been lobbying for it, so we shall see. But I have a feeling he could end up in New York with the Yankees or another team that is at or near the top of their respective division right now. Hey, Copes, one more for you before we let you go here. Giants and the Padres today, game four, this four-game set in San Diego. Padres at 49-37 thus far this season under new manager Bob Melvin. Are you more of a believer in San Diego this year than you were at this juncture of last season when they were still very much in the mix before falling apart?
Yeah, I don't know that I was ever going to get behind a franchise whose manager was leading them to the promised land and had the name Tingler. Tingler didn't inspire a lot of confidence in me. But yeah, Bob Melvin, the hum baby, obviously the ties to the Giants, always respected him. It stinks that he's in the division with the Padres because he's a guy who I think a lot of Giants fans have been fond of for a long time. But they don't even have Tatis right now, and they've been fantastic. So real, real tough not to believe in that team.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Alex Wood, Mackenzie Gore coming your way in a little under an hour here on The Sports Leader. Adam Copeland, thank you so much for joining us here on the Giants pregame show.
No problem, dude. Catch you later.
All right. He is Adam Copeland. You can hear him every weekday from 2 to 6 with Tom Tolbert here on Leader. Bill Lasky's got the talk back today as we get you set for Giants baseball. The lineup is out. A lot to look forward to for Giants fans today if they can continue to build off of the impressive performance from Carlos Rodon on Saturday evening. Austin Slater in center. Wilmer Flores batting second, playing second. Yermín Mercedes fresh off the waiver wire and hitting third in the Giants lineup. Tells you what kind of season it's been for this Giants team. He will play left field. Aaron Ruff batting fourth at first base. Tyro Estrada hitting fifth, the shortstop, fresh off the COVID IL. David Villar, the rookie called up this week, he will bat sixth and play third base. Joey Bart, another rookie, recent addition to this Giants roster now that Kurt Casale is out with the oblique injury. Bart will do the catching and hit seventh. Austin Wins, the other catcher on the roster, he will bat eighth and be the designated hitter. Right-handed hitter, loaded lineup against Mackenzie Gore. And then the lefty, Mike Yastrzemski, hitting in the nine hole today and playing right field. So that is your Giants lineup today. Alex Wood on the bump. Bill Lasky will be back with more on our Giants pregame show. You're listening to KNBR 104.5 680, The Sports Leader.